Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, usually I am working through the Scriptures a book at a time, a chapter, a verse. But this morning we're going to begin what I hope will be a three-part series in which we're going to talk about having victory in Christ, being more than a conqueror. Our main point today is from Romans chapter 8, verse 37. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So let's start there in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's what God's word says. But the first word in the sentence there is no. Oh, we don't like the word no, do we? Well, what's that talking about? It's talking about the question that was asked in the previous paragraph. Look back to verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? Oh my goodness. In response to what? Well, look back earlier in the chapter. Verse 28 we could start at. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word. Father, help us to understand and believe what you say. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There are wars going on around the world. I mean, it is bad. A lot of people are worried about all the things that are happening. Pastor, what, are you nervous? You're making me nervous. I'm not nervous. Because not only is the world situation bad, but my college roommate, years ago, who's a professor at University of Virginia now, years ago, published a book with a title that became a catchword in Western Civ, Culture Wars. Anybody here ever heard that term, culture wars? Yeah, that was his book title. He coined the term. There's been a huge struggle going on in Western civilization about whose values are going to win out. And frankly, it doesn't look very good for our side. If you look at what has happened in terms of public opinion about things like sexual morality, well, I want you to see that when it talks about we are more than conquerors, it's saying we're more than conquerors in a context where all kinds of stuff is against us. Paul isn't writing this from Bible school. He's writing the Bible, and this letter was intended to go to Rome, where the emperor demanded that he be worshipped as God. And if you wanted to say Jesus is Lord instead of Caesar is Lord, you were in trouble. But of course, if you say Caesar is Lord instead of Jesus is Lord, you're in worse trouble. You and I live in a world that is hostile. And we need to just understand that that's exactly the way Jesus said it was going to be. There will always be hardship, opposition, persecution. Do you not know that all who would live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution? That's what God says. I didn't make that up. That's not pessimism. That's realism. Say, well, I've never been persecuted. Well, give yourself time. Okay? If you live a life that is focused on obedience to God, some people will say, wow, I wish I had that kind of courage. And some people will say, you're crazy. And some people will say, we're going to make you pay. That's just the way it works. And it's okay. Because none of these things can separate us from the Lord's love. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, will those things separate us from the Lord? No, absolutely not. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is really good news. If we believe that, then whatever comes, we know we're going to be okay. This is not written to say, hey, you know, bad things may hit other people, but you're not going to be touched. No, you'll be touched. You may go through famine. When it talks about nakedness, it's not talking about swimwear. Okay? It's talking about the fact that you may lose everything that gives you comfort and security. It can all be stripped away. And if your comfort and security was in material things, be prepared to lose it. But if your comfort and security is in Christ Jesus, the fact that God's love for you is perfect and enduring, then no one can ever take that from you. No one.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And you and I need to understand that and believe that because there are going to be storms. There are going to be difficult things. And by the way, there's going to be difficult stuff for people who say, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to have that kind of life. I don't want to have it up. You're still going to have to live in a world that suffers the consequences of sin. Non-Christians are not immune to suffering. Everybody goes through difficulty. But those who are in Christ Jesus have a peace that passes understanding. Those who are in Christ Jesus have a security that the world doesn't understand. I've shared countless times the story of my wife holding our son when he was about to turn 2, and I was downstairs dealing with the business office at the hospital in Boston, and she's rocking him in a chair and softly singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And Lou Silva came out into the hall from across the room and really blasted her. "How can you be like that? How can you be so peaceful and joyful when your child is going through this?" And Lou had watched as we had come and gone and come and gone. His son, Lou Jr., had an inoperable brain tumor, and the doctors had given them no hope. That night, he was an angry man who said, "I don't even believe in God. I always said that if there's a God, why would there need to be a children's hospital? And now my son is here at children's hospital dying." But he saw something in my wife that he couldn't understand, and it angered him and drew him. And so Susan shared the gospel with him. And Lou spent all night wrestling with God, throwing up, miserable, but in the wee hours of the morning, he gave his life to Jesus. Let me just tell you something. Everybody goes through hardship. Everybody goes through difficulty. But do you want to face that on your own? Or do you want to rest in the arms of Jesus? We are more than conquerors. That doesn't mean we don't go through difficulty. It means that whatever the enemy throws at us, we are in Christ, secure and victorious. Now, some of you have heard of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Anybody heard that expression? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, you know, you got three things you got to contend with. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Where does that notion come from? How about Ephesians chapter 2? Take a look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, this is God's word. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." That's Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. This describes all of us before we knew Christ. Not some of us, not a lot of us, all of us. All of us were dead spiritually. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We weren't just sick and ailing. We were dead. I have been there when people died. I've been summoned to the homes of people who had died. And I've never once asked a corpse to do something. Okay? The reason you don't give orders to a corpse is dead. Dead. When someone's dead, they can't fix their problem. All of us were spiritually dead and we couldn't fix our problem, and God in his mercy sent his son to save us. He took the punishment that we deserved and then conquered death for us. And God, by his Spirit, brings us to life. We are made alive in Christ Jesus. And now, as those who have been made alive, we have God's power to deal with our problems. Hallelujah. Doesn't say we don't have problems. But if we're going to understand the problems that were besetting us, the world, the flesh, and the devil is a pretty nice, succinct description. He describes here that when we were spiritually dead in transgressions and sins, we lived in a pattern that can be described as the ways of the world. God describes it that way. That's just the way the world operates. Why? Because it's a bunch of spiritually dead people. I'm not a fan of zombie movies, okay? I've never watched a zombie movie. I've seen clips of the TV shows and stuff, but I mean, it's not like, oh boy, I gotta see this. No, it's like, oh, gross. When you look at the world around you, don't be surprised that people who are spiritually dead act like zombies. They act like they're dead, okay? All of us were like that too. Don't forget it. It's not like, well, I've never done anything like that in my life, except that time in third grade. You know, it's just all of us were spiritually dead. And people who are spiritually dead don't behave like Christians. We have a hard enough time as Christians behaving like Christians. Amen? So, the world, the ways of the world, are all around us, and if you travel on the broad way, you need to know you're headed for destruction. Because that's what Jesus said. There are two ways. A broad way that most people travel on, it leads to destruction. And a narrow way that few people find that leads to life. You can't go in both directions at the same time. You're either on the road to destruction or you are on the road to life. If you're on the road to life, it's a narrow way and most people are headed in the opposite direction. This is a description of reality. All of us were in that condition. We were all headed the wrong way. But it's not just the world. The devil's mentioned right here too. The ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. There's a spiritual dynamic. It's not just a cultural thing. It's not just a sociological phenomenon. There are spiritual forces at work. Years ago, I was a teenager and I went to take my cousin Drew camping. We loaded up our gear in the car. We drove up to what was called the Black Mountain Campground near Mount Mitchell, which is the highest peak east of the Mississippi. We got up to the Black Mountain Campground, and when we pulled into the place, I'd been there before. When we pulled into the place, I turned to Drew and I said, something's not right. I said, there's something, there's a bad spirit here. And I prayed and I felt like very strong oppression. And I said, man, I'm sorry. I know we came all this way to camp here, but I feel like we need to leave. He said, okay, whatever you think. So, I mean, that's weird, isn't it? Leaving because you sense a bad spirit in a place? Weird. We drove back to Black Mountain, which is quite a distance from the Black Mountain campground. They're not the same. Got back to Black Mountain, North Carolina, had to put gas in the car, had all our camping gear in the back seat, and the guy who was pumping the gas, because back then it wasn't self-serve, the guy who was pumping the gas said, going camping? And I said, well, we were, but we just got back. I'd gone up to the Black Mountain campground. He said, oh, were you there when it happened? And I said, what? And he said, man, it's all in the news. There was a bad shooting up there. Folks got shot. We left less than 5 minutes, probably less than 2 minutes, before the shooting took place. But before the shooting took place, there was already a very bad spirit there. Now, not everybody has discernment of spirits. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit described in 1 Corinthians. But I'm telling you, you need to know that when you're out there in the world dealing with stuff, there are spiritual forces at work, not just physical forces, not just psychological dynamics, not just sociological principles. There are demonic spirits at work. If you look at what happened to child abuse in the United States in 1973, child abuse, which had been like this on a graph, suddenly went like that. Why 1973? Maybe because the highest court in the land in January of that year ruled that it was legal in all 50 states, suddenly, to be able to go into a mother's womb and tear a child limb from limb, crush the skull, smash that little body and tear it apart and extract it from the mom. That's what the Supreme Court decided. The highest court in the land and governing forces, Romans 13, are supposed to represent God. They're supposed to do his bidding and follow his plan and his word. Ours didn't. And suddenly, demons were unleashed all across this land. There were tons of people who abused their children who didn't even know about Roe v. Wade or Doe v. Bolton, the companion decisions that legalized abortion in this country. But that was the same year that the American Psychological Association also decided to change the diagnostic manual and stop referring to homosexual behavior as being unhealthy. 1973. And we all know the country is doing so much better since 1973. No. It was a spiritual dynamic. And there were demonic forces unleashed in this land. So you act like America's the promised land and No. Oh, America's where we live. But if you look at what's happened all around the world, it's bad news. It's bad news of the sort that's described in Scripture. Well, what are we to do? We're to realize that we were a part of that before. That spirit that is at work in those who are disobedient. But it's not just the world and the devil. There's this thing called our flesh. Look at verse 3 of Ephesians 2. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. It's not just them. It's not just the devil. It's us. Our sinful nature, which we have to crucify. We have to die to. We have to die to self daily. You have to say no to yourself. You know the hardest person for me to say no to? It's not my wife. It's not even my daughters. It's me. I have a hard time saying no to me because I can always come up with a rationalization for whatever I want. You know, there's a reason why it's legit in my case. And I have to realize, no, that's how we got in trouble in the first place. The serpent said, you won't die just from eating that piece of fruit. Come on, fruit's good for you. That fruit will make you wise. Well, it's good for food. And it looks nice. Makes me wise? Really? Sure, I'll try. I'm just telling you, we've been doing the same stupid thing ever since. So, God willing, this week we're going to talk about the world, the flesh, and the devil, and how God empowers those who are in Christ to overcome, to be more than conquerors. Our position in Christ is what brings us victory. I don't want you to miss out, but you have to be in Christ. If you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, I plead with you to call on Him and ask Him to save you. If you know you need saving, ask Him to save you. He will.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.